You're listening to the Business of Pharmacy podcast with me, your host, Mike Kelzer. Well, hello, Dr. Ford. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm sure a lot of people know who you are, but for the one or two out there that might not, give us a little rundown of you know, who you are and kind of what's going on in your life and maybe what's hot right now for you.
All right. As I mentioned, my name is Dr. Isan Ford. A little background. I have a master's degree in clinical physiology from the University of Florida, and have my PharmD, Doctor of Pharmacy, from University of Southern California in Los Angeles. I've been practicing pharmacist for about 15 years now. Time flies, my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm also personally licensed in 17 states, boards of pharmacy, and also have an additional license as a consultant pharmacist in Florida. So it's like 18 different pharmacist licenses across the country.
Wow.
Currently, I specialize in high-risk sterile compounding as a compounding pharmacist. I am the director of pharmacy at a FDA-registered GMP-regulated pharmaceutical manufacturer / 503B outsourcing facility. And, you know, we make sterile injectables and products and non-sterile medications for hospitals, clinics, you know, doctor's offices and patients nationwide. That's what I do, you know, for a couple of years now. That's my specialty in pharmacy. Right now, I'm actually, a bit of a passion now is another business venture I got into with a couple of partners of ours. I'm a partner of a hemp farm and a national distribution manager at Right Coast Agriculture. And our hemp farm is based in Vermont. And our distribution manufacturing facility is based in Maine. And it's a very exciting time to be in this industry of hemp and CBD. The worlds are colliding between patient care, doctors, and alternative treatment options. We are a certified clean green farm that provides, you know, high quality hemp and CBD products, you know, full quality testing and certificates of analysis provided with all of our products. And, you know, we sell, you know, full spectrum isolate CBD products, which I'll talk more about, whether it be, you know, at wholesale or retail, different products, the options, dosage forms, and also, you know, agricultural equipment and consulting that kind of goes into the industry as a whole.
Yeah, right.
So go ahead.
Well, Dr. Ford, all right. So I'm looking at this, and the part that gives me a headache is 17 states that you're licensed in. Talk to me about that. How does that, why did that come about, and how does that happen then?
A very interesting question. Some people may know what, if this pharmacy or facility wants to ship medications into that state, they have to be, the pharmacy, the business has to be licensed in that state, and many boards of pharmacy require to have a designated state licensed pharmacist in charge to on record with that application or for quality control purposes on record. So in order for company A to ship into California, they have to have a California licensed pharmacy employed with them on record as the authority responsible practitioner on that facility. So because of that, I was given an opportunity to where my employer was. We were licensed in many states, and therefore, you know, someone has to take these state boards of pharmacy licenses, and someone has to be that, you know, licensed personnel in that state. So that's how it kind of came about. So, I mean, it is, and I noticed it's actually a business model for a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, for whether it be mail order facilities have to do the same thing, you know, manufacturing facilities, pharmacies that ship out of state. So it's becoming a bigger thing in this industry. For obviously the facility to be licensed there and multiple different licenses, whether it be a wholesale license, manufacturer's license, non-resident pharmacy license, as well as a pharmacist license that's in that state. So, you know, some people actually make a good living just getting licenses and pretty much renting out their licenses. But obviously it's a lot of liability that your license is on the line for that state in case things are not done properly.
Yeah, right. So I'm familiar with, you know, the pharmacies being licensed, and yeah, I guess they just want to, you know, they, for whatever, you know, I'm not, for better or for worse, they keep adding, you know, well, okay, now you need this registered and the pharmacist and so on. Well, right. That's how tough is that to keep up with 17 states being licensed in?
You know, they do have, you know, educational platforms where you kind of consolidate all your CE learning materials in one website, like, say, for instance, Pharmacist Letter or, you know, CE. PharmacistCE.com, things like that, where they kind of keep track of all the different laws that may change. So you may need controlled substance law or another update with their HIV laws in that state, or different tweaks. That so these particular platforms, you kind of do all your CEs, keeps track of it all, and it's really up to you to kind of renew them and keep on top of your 30 hours every 2 years.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So that's just, you know, if you, like, for instance, additional licenses or like consultant pharmacist license, that takes a little step further. You need additional live CE courses and things like that. But, you know, overall, it's a little tough to manage, but, you know, you're still learning. It's constant learning once you get out of school as well.
Did you have to test in all of those states?
Yes. So, every state you get your additional license, you have to take the law exam in that state. So it's during like a 3-hour exam, a law exam, you take the MPJE for that state. And then you basically, through a license transfer, a reciprocity process through the National Boards of Pharmacy, you get to utilize your basis state to transfer your license over to that state. So you don't have to take the National Board exam again. You just have to take that state law exam.
The state law one.
The state law. So every state has little, you know, idiosyncrasies, how they manage different parts. Well, some states maybe certain things may be controlled, how they do nursing homes, or certain idiosyncrasies about their laws or state laws, but obviously the federal laws are the same. So kind of tough.
That's a ton of work. So Dr. Ford, you're a young guy growing up, and which is the answer? Did you have dreams of all this stuff you're doing and say, okay, I need this degree and this degree and this degree to do what I want to do? Or was it that you started and said, okay, I'm going to get a pharmacy degree and I'm going to just probably work in one spot. And then all of a sudden this blows up with the different things that you're in. What's first on that?
Well, I'm a healthcare practitioner first and foremost. Love helping patients. Patient care was my ultimate, you know, goal to learn, to master that knowledge of medications and drug therapy management. But I also had a passion for entrepreneurship, business, and thinking outside the box. How do you utilize your degree to kind of take things to the next level, and expand on that knowledge and helping and expanding and growing businesses.
And so it wasn't just like, and so it was a, it wasn't like you said, what degree is going to be best to be the entrepreneur, but it was the love of helping and health along with that, that kind of sent you in these directions.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. You know, the more you learn, the more you want to help educate, and, you know, the more you will learn, the more you want to build and expand. And with that becomes, out of that naturally comes product and services, you know. When you have a knowledge base and you end up having business, you end up building a business model out of your knowledge, whether it be consulting, whether it be a new product you just formulated or came up with, you know, things of that nature, kind of comes organically. And it's not what you do with it at that point to either create a business out of it, create a consulting company out of it, which I did many times, and kind of capitalize on that as well.
You know, I know you've got some skincare products. You've got some actual physical. When was the first time that you took your knowledge, and you said consulting and things like that, but when's the first time you took your knowledge and put a product, you know, a product behind it?
Very interesting point. So it came to a point where just putting my name out there, networking within, you know, like-minded individuals, online portals. People ask you questions from your background, and then they ask you, oh, can you do this? Can you do that? Do you know about this? And I could answer the questions, yes. And so instead of me just referring people to how to do it, I said, well, why don't I do it for them and charge them for this service? Because it is, you know, a knowledge-based business and industry, and, you know, why not get paid for this knowledge, you know? And so I figured, you know, I was never really a salesperson per se, but I was like a creator. So when it comes to my skincare line, I was initially trying to do cosmetic product development for custom contract manufacturing for dermatologists and others that want to have their own brand. But that takes a bit of a salesman to get out there and sell that to people, you know?
Yeah, right.
But so once I kind of got selling, I'm tired of the selling and the chasing. I said, why don't I just do it myself? You know?
Yeah, right.
Why don't I do it myself? You know, make it a little more personal, stick my name on it, Dr. Ford Skincare, you know, then it was more like a love and passion behind it, you know, kind of do it from scratch, from the packaging, the sourcing, the containers, the trademarking, and just, you know, formulations. I was kind of love it in general. So, and, you know, I kind of did that outside of my full-time employment. It was more like a love and passion for growing a business and entrepreneurship, you know, making your product. And so now I have a product, and actually it's funny so I wasn't trying to have my own product at first, but I kind of pushed myself into it because, you know, I don't want to chase people to make it for them. So I said, why don't I do it myself? But then now I have this product, but people still ask me, oh, can you do it for me? You know, but now I have something to show.
Yeah, now they've seen the results, and now they put you in that position even more.
Right, exactly. Well,
that's neat. So before we get into the CBD stuff and that,
yeah.
are there other products then that you saw? So I assume that the skincare was the first one, and then did any other like entrepreneurial product based things happen before you're joining with the farms and stuff?
No, that was the first little touch into me kind of getting into my own contract manufacturing and developing problem was my skincare. With the CBD hemp farm businesses now, that's, you know, a group effort now, and we're developing those products for the public and for patients. That's a very interesting topic because that came about kind of organically as well. You know, and obviously as pharmacists, we provide consultation to patients and doctors every day in different scenarios, and patients, whether it be using, you know, seizure medication or pain medications or anything for their ailments, anxiety, they always look for alternative, healthy, you know, organic herbal products. And they was always asking about CBD and hemp products, or whether it be medical marijuana as well. So I would want to. And that is something you don't teach in school, you know, whether it be the physicians, nurses, and pharma, they don't teach this kind of stuff in school. So I would educate myself about this topic and learn more about it to help be, because there is a lot of drug interactions, you know, people are using it. So you have to kind of educate yourself.
What year was that, that these questions seem to start popping up more to you?
It's been about a year now.
Only about a year since you started talking even a lot about it.
Exactly. I first dabbled into the medical marijuana clinic space first, and then with my partner. And then we kind of got into this, you know, Dura Hemp Farms. And, you know, my partners was doing this for many years. And Yeah, they were doing this for many years in their recreational states in Maine and Vermont. And so I was, you know, we started different businesses before with these medical marijuana clinics. So they kind of organically brought me in to kind of help them transition into the pharmaceutical independent retail space, commercialization of the products. It's more of like a hemp products and CBD products traditionally have been, you know, sold in, you know, vape shops, smoke shops, not necessarily the big, you know, storefronts you see everywhere. Like now, like CVS and Walgreens are trying to stack it. So, you know, that was the kind of merging of the two worlds from.
So the states, Vermont, Maine, that had the recreational, I assume for a while now, they kind of started to it. And then I imagine states like in Michigan here, once states start to talk about all the medical reasoning, and now, for example, Michigan, we're even recreational, then people say, well, we're able to talk about this now even and bring it up in conversation. It's not like taboo.
Exactly. So when the federal government legalized CBD products nationwide in all 50 states, that along with CBD products, the full spectrum products are below 0.3% of THC, which I could talk more about, made it legal, then even more people were asking about it because it's more available online now. You see online sales, different storefronts popping up with it now. So now even more people are asking about it. But it's a very I'd like to get more into that because it's a very still unregulated Wild Wild West industry. So that's why it's So healthcare professionals to this day still know how to answer those questions or where to find reliable sources. So that's, right. So this is where kind of my partners and I, we teamed up and said, you know, let's get this into, you know, let's open up the stigma behind this. So let's help educate patients and consumers about what's quality product versus not quality products, because it is, we're still trying to help patients with their ailments. And let's get this into name stores, independent pharmacy stores where you don't traditionally see these products. And there's really no big inroads to that at the moment. And, you know, and so now this industry is kind of opening up. So, you know, maybe,
When did CBD become, was that like one fell swoop that it became legal everywhere? Was that like a 6 months ago or something? Or?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. The federal government passed that law. No one had the date on that. The farm bill. So that would made it legal in all 50 states. Along had that below that 0.3% limit, THC limit. Because remember, anything above that, either if you're in a medical marijuana state, you need a medical marijuana card to get your higher TH level. Otherwise, you're in a recreational state where you don't need that card. But as far as if it's below that limit, unless a state has more stringent law than the federal government, like for instance, Ohio still outlaws CBD product sales, irregardless that the state said, I mean, the federal government says it's legal. So the state can override the federal government if they have more stringent law.
Gotcha. So you come out and now you've got this product for the last 30 years where all the grandmas and people are thinking, you know, hippies, you know, Woodstock. And now CBD is here and you guys are trying to put the white coat look on it for the medical side and from distinguished people and caregivers and medical. And you're trying to get that image to come along with it because it's such a Wild West industry.
Yes. And we want to break down the stigma, you know, the federal government has kind of been on both sides of the fence here. You know, there is one FDA approved, you know, product based on CBD oil from the plant source called Epidiolex for pediatric seizures. So there is obviously proof medical benefit of CBD oil use with, you know, real medical use case in pediatric seizures, FDA approved product. And for many years, there's been a synthetic marijuana product that's been used, FDA approved as well for Marinol, called Marinol.
Right.
Used for, you know, cancer patients with cachexia, you know, appetite issues. So help put on some weight. So it is. And, you know, the federal government has their own test facilities where they've been, you know, issuing patients with these medical marijuana medicines for their own, you know, clinics. So, you know, don't get it twisted. You know, this has been very used in the medical community for many years, but it's been a big stigma as far as education now. So that's why we want to kind of bring out the education to it all and show patients that, you know, hemp products can be safe and CBD products are safe and effective. And not all these products that we're talking about, if it's below that 0.3% limit of THC, you don't have the psychedelic effects. You don't have the high effects. That's what the stigma is.
Gotcha. Yeah, so, because and as you said, that these products have been around. It's just that the stigma is there, but it's a false stigma of these products because these have been around for a long time with the Marinol and so on.
Exactly. So let me back up here. So, you know, the cannabis plant. So most people think of cannabis plant, marijuana plants of, you know, all you do is get high and there's really no medical benefit. Well, obviously that's been, you know, debunked and disproven. So that actually there is medical benefits for this. And there are ongoing studies, clinical trials and just ongoing studies showing that there is a use case for THC products and CBD products in many cases. So and it's in essence, so let me break it down. The cannabis plant, again, there's above 85 or more different cannabinoids in this plant. And with many of them have many different medical benefits, okay? And these different cannabinoids, THC is just the most popular, most famous one. But there are other cannabinoids in that plant. That's just the most popular, most famous, you know, cannabinoid. But CBD is also extracted from the same plant, and it's used in different dosage forms and has a lot of medical benefits as well. And is that's just two. But there's still other, as I said, over 80 more cannabinoids. And when you act them, when they all act together in this full spectrum entourage effect, they call it, in products, you get all the different medicinal benefits from it, whether it be anti-anxiety, anti-algia for pain, seizures, insomnia, all these other, you know, medical elements that it helps cure. So, and again, so CBD, CBDA, CBG, CBN, THC, THCA. So all these are not known chemicals most people hear about, but the when you do these cannabinoid profile tests, they're there and you see what benefits they have treating these ailments.
Interesting. And so when you talk CBD, do I have that right, Dr. Ford, that you then, does your company then hope to go on and do the whole plant, all 85 of these compounds together as the flower and so on?
Okay. Yes, that's a good question. So there's a lot of products right now on the market, and a lot of people still get confused on what this is all about. You'll see hemp oil products on the market, and that's from hemp seeds. You'll see CBD products in the market, and it should say, is it from isolate or not? And you'll see another type of CBD product on the market, and it may say full spectrum or not. Now, these are all completely different. But buyer beware, customers do not know what's what. So they may be overpaying for something, and they don't know what the differences are. And I can explain those differences. But even more, before we even get to that finished product on the shelf, what I said, which is a very scary unregulated market right now, because there's not a lot of regulation. Remember, and this is a plant, so it is cultivated. So pesticides can be used. Soil that hasn't been tested for these heavy metals and trace metals could be in these soils. Fungus, molds, bacteria could be in these plants as well. So these tests, all these quality assurance tests should be going into the cultivation process. And at the end, should have these certificates to prove that this is a safe, healthy product, that it's safe to ingest or put on your skin. That is where the regulation is not there. So you may have a product on the shelf, but where did it come from? Did it come from what plant, from what farm, from what seed? Is it organic? Did they use pesticides? Do they check for organic solvents? All these different things. And so you're still ingesting it, but a lot of people think, oh, it's okay. They're being sold on a shelf. But if they don't know how to ask the right questions, it could be harmful as well.
So, all right. So you guys come out with these products, and it sounds to me like your goal is to have people trust you, that you guys are given the straight medical scoop. But how do you build that trust in the consumer?
Good question. Good question. The goal is to get safe, effective, quality products in patients' hands and independent pharmacies, retailers, and across the country. Safe, effective, quality products, and with certificates of analysis testing to show that it's a safe process that came to make this product to on the shelf. So how do we do that? Education is one. You know, having medical professionals on the team like myself, trusted healthcare professionals on a team that, you know, doctors trust, patients trust, is two. Opening up, showing them with test results, bringing consumers down to, or, you know, big wholesalers down to our farm. Hey, come to the farm, walk the field, see the process, see the manufacturer, see how we curate these products, how we get to the product.
Yeah, right there on the farm.
What's that?
Right there on the farm. That's really interesting.
Yeah. These things don't really happen in the industry right now. You don't really hear when a customer wants to have a product, they don't know where it came from. That's the thing. There's, like in medicine and pharmaceuticals, there's pedigree laws, mandated pedigree laws from the manufacturer in China, Japan, Israel, to importation, what wholesale did it come from, to repackaging, to the end user pharmacy. This is all pedigree laws of pharmaceutical medicines. But in this space, there is no pedigree laws. So you really don't know, if you can't trace it back, you really don't know what you're ingesting, what are you putting on your skin, is it harmful, is it not? Cross your fingers. That's because the regulation is not there yet.
So from people learning more about you and the background, you're then building the trust with the brand, kind of like how it's not the same, but kind of like how Budweiser's going to show the Clydesdales and the old fire trucks and things like that. You're kind of showing who's standing behind all this.
Exactly. With trust and with, you know, openness and education, you know, that's the way you want to go about it. And obviously, you know, when patients ask doctors where to go for these products, they want to be able to, you know, educating the doctors, because they're the ones, also the physicians, they are the ones telling patients where to go. And sometimes they don't know. Oh, just go online, buy it, or just go to the local store, just whatever you can find. And that's where the gray area comes in. And this is not a new product or new space. It just was really, it's been an unregulated space all this time.
Yeah, exactly.
So a lot of people are taking advantage of, you know, consumers not knowing a difference. Case in point, hemp seed oil, very popular, very common. You see it everywhere online. Hemp seed oil, you know, kind of a lot of times being marketed as, you know, as what CBD is supposed to be marketed as, more like for your treating your ailments and medical conditions. Well, hemp seed oil, if people don't know any better, you know, that has very little CBD inside of it. It's hemp seed oil, is just the seed from the plant, not the whole plant, just the hemp seed itself. They use extracted into an oil, and that seed has benefits, but it's nutritional benefits, vitamins, minerals, omega-3 fatty acids. That's it. So, but people advertise and market it as, hey, use it for your anxiety, use it for your, all the other, you know what I'm saying? So people try to sell it for something else that it is not.
Sure.
And sure. So that's where the education comes in. And people making millions and millions of dollars are just lack of education, because remember, there's no clinical studies behind it. There's no paperwork. So you really have to kind of, what's on the package? And what do you think, you know, what do you could Google and find?
Yeah, right. Dr. Ford, from a business side then,
yes.
you guys have this product, and ultimately you want to get it into pharmacies. Is that through phone calls, advertising? How do you guys go about that?
Doing podcasts like this, really.
Well, then I get half the profit then.
I mean, it's really about grassroots. You know, since I've been a pharmacist for almost 15 years, you know, grassroots, educating my colleagues, educating wholesalers, educating right. store owners, just grassroots education. But, you know, CVS and Walgreens are getting into this space now. CVS launched, they said eight states, 800 stores, they're going to start putting CBD products. Well, they have a lot of consultants and a lot of people to educate them. You know, Walgreens, 1,500 stores. They have a lot of people to kind of hash this out and make this a viable business model to get into. But the normal, you know, mom and pop pharmacies and regular stores, retailers, they don't know where to go to buy these products. They don't know, well, let me just call up Joe's Farm and get these products direct. They just don't know. So there's a lot of, you know, profiteering in this space. There's a lot of, you know, lack of security in this space, because you got to think about it. And I've heard this case before, that a retailer was selling a CBD product and a regulator came in to just do a spot check, and they took a sample or bought a sample, took it back to the lab, tested it, and it was higher than the 0.3% of THC federal limit.
Oh,
guess what that means? That means you're selling a Schedule One drug, just as bad as cocaine, heroin, marijuana. That is a huge felony offense. That person almost lost their license. So, again, if that retailer didn't know where they got that oil from, who's what supplier, did it come with a certificate of analysis showing the information? Was that certificate of analysis not adulterated?
Yeah.
It's really a trust system, you know?
Yeah. And I think one of the other barriers that I'm finding is I'm under the assumption that if Michigan, for example, if Michigan could carry it, that everybody would be carrying it. And the problem is, you look at the laws and they're quite confusing. So my buyer at my store says, let's get it. And I'm like, look, as soon as As soon as Walgreens on the corner gets it, or CVS does in Michigan, then I probably know we're safe, because I'm sure they have lawyers all over it. But how is that my best way, or how do we know?
Here's the thing. There are hundreds of farms around the country that could make the product. Now it's a matter of now this product, to get to a finished product, you have to obviously start from the seed. You cultivate the plant, you extract it into an oil. So at any point in the process, you can just source an oil or source the plant, the biomass in particular, the materials to make the oil. So, you know, it may go through different hands, different entities before it gets to this finished product. So just because CVS may have it on the shelf, well, where do they get that? Where did the oil come from? Well, where did the plant come from? Where did the seed come from? So if they don't have that pedigree, chain of continuity, where it all came from, now it's not, well, do we trust that supplier? Do we trust this supplier? Do we trust that supplier? That's
here's my question, though. My question on the legal front, though, when I look at the legal things from Michigan, I'm looking at those and I can't really tell. And I say, you know what? If it was legal for a pharmacy in Michigan to sell CBD, then Walgreens, which they don't yet, they would all have them already. And because they don't sell them yet, I'm under the impression that it must not be, they must not be able to sell them yet.
Yeah, you're looking at a high level. I know you're saying in general. If you see it on the shelf, it must be legal in general, is what you're saying. Yes and no. Yes and no. For instance, in some states, say you can sell CBD, but it has to be 0% THC. What that means is that CBD isolate can be sold in that state. CBD full spectrum cannot be sold in that state.
I see.
Because CBD full spectrum means it's below 0.3% of THC. CBD isolate means that it's zero THC at all. And if it's not written on, the label, again, buyer beware, because you don't know if you're buying isolate or it's full spectrum. If it doesn't have a certificate, it doesn't have the proper labeling, you know. So you can't make a generalization, but I can say like CVS is selling full spectrum. They partnered up with full spectrum. So I know I know that part. But again, only in 8 states is a pilot. But again, most independent pharmacies right now, they're not going to go and try to find direct sources for the product. They're going to just wait till their wholesaler pitches it to them.
Yeah,
that's
probably.
That's what we're going to do. And so because it's so early in the game, I could tell you real life case studies right now. Most independents don't have it on their shelves. Most wholesalers are not selling it to them, because I can tell you for a fact is – one big wholesaler that's been selling to a lot of independents right now, I won't say any names, but they're not even a pharmaceutical wholesaler company. They're just a CBD company. And
gotcha.
I remember, when I talked to one of our wholesalers, they got the price list from an independent pharmacy, and the prices that they're buying these products from are 150, 300% markups. Because there's this monopoly. There's really not a lot of competition. So, you know, opportunity that we're presenting as a company to these pharmacies that, hey, you can still have the opportunity to buy direct from trusted sources like us.
All right. So what happens when down the road, CBD is obviously going to have a trend like other products. It's going to start off and then go through a up curve and then gradually level off and come down. Does your company come up with some of these other 85 ingredients, or do you sell the whole plant for states that allow recreational, or is it mainly a CBD focus?
When you say recreation, you're talking more about anything above 0.3% THC.
These don't have the mental change.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of like my analogy is that when you buy non-alcoholic beer, if you read the label, it says contains less than 0.5% alcohol. So you see it has a little bit of alcohol inside of it, but not enough to get you drunk or psychedelic effects of the beer. But it has a little bit of alcohol in it, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of the same analogy. The legal limit is 0.3% or below. It has a little bit of THC in it, which is good for medicinal benefits, but not enough to have the psychedelic effects that people are known or popularity seen. All that's, you're going to get high for this. No. But it's there, and you want it there for some degree because it's, you know, studies have shown the THC, the THCA, the other cannabinoids, the elements of the plant all together with something called entourage effect synergistically helps that, you know, it enhances the medical benefit of the product.
Okay, so what happens when the CBD goes through its cycle and, I don't know, 5 or 10 years from now, it's calmed down, yes, as far as sales? Do you guys follow up with, are there going to be other oils extracted from the 85? Or what is your game plan after the CBD, like, kind of, not runs its course, but, you know, it kind of levels off?
Well, I think this is one, many ways you can look at this. You know, there's oils, there's different dosage forms. There's salves, there's creams.
Gotcha.
There's edibles, they call them. There's soaps, lotions. So there's, you could, obviously the product list goes on and on and on. You'll see a lot of other big chains are getting into like CBD infused ice cream, CBD infused pastries, CBD infused coffees, you know, all these different things. So
yeah.
It's going to be a big, big life cycle before everything's infused with CBD because everyone's coming around saying, oh, a little bit of CBD is going to help, not hurt, you know, type of thing.
Right.
And then out of all the different, I'm sure he'll come to a point where out of all the different cannabinoids that are available in the plant, people will kind of start isolating some of the different cannabinoids. Maybe CBDA will be isolated out just for specific ailments for just that specific cannabinoid, you know?
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of, I know the product is not identical at all, but it kind of reminds me of like aloe, you know, back when we were younger, you know, the aloe came out and then it's in everything and then you still see it in everything. So I see what you're saying about that life cycle. It kind of keeps going.
Yeah. And, you know, and more with their education, more and more people will know that it, because of the medical benefits of it, you can kind of titrate yourself off of some of these pharmaceutical medications. And it seems to be working in a lot of cases. I know one patient that we're treating has spinal stenosis, arthritis, an older lady in her 80s, and she takes, you know, Tylenol number 3 and some Vicodin, PRN. And, you know, ever since she's been taking CBD oil, she's noticed that her pain scale has gone down. She doesn't have to take around the clock Tylenol number 3. She sleeps better through the night. So she's kind of weaning herself off some of these opiates. And guess what? Less opiates, less risk of side effects, less liver toxicity, you know, all the different things associated with opiates, less addiction risk, all these things help. So she's forever grateful. So more and more people realize that, you know, this is a good additive. I'm not saying you could stop certain medications per se, but this is a good additive, adjunctive therapy to add to your treatments, to that, as long as it's not, you know, drug interactions or drug to disease interactions. Still talk to your doctor or pharmacist about these products before you start using them, but it only would help in a lot of cases.
All right, Dr. Ford, all right, so this is going to take off. It's going to do well, but what cliche keeps you up at night? What do you personally worry about, if anything, with regards to being involved with something like this, whether it's too much stress or too much time or everything going, you know, bad? What are your concerns like personally?
Well, when it comes to this business, right close to agriculture and our products and where we're going with this, my concerns are that regulators don't step in eventually to help weed out the people that are not doing things the right way.
Right.
And that, because it really gives a back stigma between the facilities like ours that were trying to go about it the right way with ISO classified rooms and GMP facilities and, you know, making sure ours are organically grown, you know, no chemicals are used, versus someone trying to just selling a product that's very low price just to get it on the shelf and it's harming patients.
Right.
It's really counterproductive to patient care, wellness, quality products. And so we welcome regulators and state regulators to educate themselves, get in the market, start having some regulation, because consumers are using them. I mean, I say more than 60% of consumers are using these products. So you want to make sure you're using safe and effective products before someone's harmed, you know?
Yeah, you want to get kind of like a pharmacy. You don't want everybody in the world selling our extra. You want to have regulations to keep things on the up and up, and I guess to weed out the you know, just weed out people that you don't want to be, not necessarily monetarily competing with, but just you want to be competing with people on the up and up.
Exactly. And again, I'm Dr. Ford first. I'm a healthcare professional first, and I care about patients and education and you know, provide these consultations to patients. So when I give them an option, whether it be vitamins, minerals, what have you, if it's not for, you know, pharmaceutical prescriptions, then I want to make sure it's going to be safe and effective. So same thing with this space, CBD. If it's going to be safe and effective, I want to make sure they're getting quality products. Because even if they don't buy our products, they buy something else because it's so much cheaper. But they still should be educated. Hey, you know, do you know if it has pesticides in that? You know, do you know if it has any, you know, harmful chemicals in it? Do you know? No. And if the answers are all no, then just because it's cheaper doesn't mean it's safer.
Yeah, right. All right. So you wake up tomorrow and this was all a dream, that this product exists and you're not into the, you know, the products and the flowers and the wholesale and retail and all that. This did not exist. You wake up. What would you be doing? What avenue would you be going down if this did not exist? Do you have that fire to say you'd want to do something like this, or would you say, yeah, it came along, I'm not looking for it? But so one, would you be doing something? And two, what do you think it might be if it wasn't this?
If it wasn't what? Repeat that part.
If CBD did not exist and you never, you know, you never met the farmers and you weren't going down the CBD road, would you? Okay. I know the answer. I was looking on your LinkedIn and I see a little bit of real estate work in there too.
What else would my focus be on? Basically you're saying.
Yeah. What else would you focus on if this didn't exist?
That's a good question, because I'm always multitasking and trying to be the best I can be with, you know, whether it be me being a father, just me being a good dad, me being, you know, a good healthcare professional. What would I get myself into, huh?
Yeah, do you think it'd be something on a product or national level or something, or?
I go back to my product, the skincare product. You know, people want, you know, organic products. People want, you know, healthier products, sustainable products, less chemicals. So it does kind of come back, does merge again into, well, what is a good healthy alternative to add to this product?
Gotcha.
It all kind of comes back, because the world is coming towards, you know, more natural, sustainable living, sustainable farming, sustainable products, less chemicals, less preservatives. So, you know, and the more and more every year, more prescription drugs are coming out, so more people want other options. So and me dealing with patients having 20 medications, 15 medications, complications, you know, I always want to try and give them another option.
Right.
So I would be always thinking of something, whether it be a healthy alternative of a supplement of some sort that they can give them hope. So they don't have to just take that pharmaceutical pill that gives them nausea every time, you know? So I would be thinking of something, you know, in that regard.
Yeah, something to fill that hole of natural, but not going down the road of with all the chemicals and all those things. And there's a lot of areas for that, I'm sure.
There's a lot of areas for that. You know, I mean, again, I was trained with, you know, Western medicine and prescription drugs for everything. Yes, I know. And there's a lot of data behind it, and I could support that data. But again, that's not the only thing that people could use to help treat their ailments, you know, and so I think that's with, you know, besides healthy living as well. So I think I'd be coming up with a creative, healthy product of some sort to help patients with their ailments, because I hear these stories every day, all day, you know?
Right. What would you do right now with $100 million in your hand?
Oh, what would I do with that?
Would you be out of all this?
That's a good question. I think that's be podcast number two, because I think of it. I definitely give back and donate, kind of scholarship funds, you know, I would help, you know, educate. I'm not a greedy type of person. You know, I like my things, but
give away a little.
Yeah. You know, I can spare a little Lamborghini there. That's fine. But, but again, you know, I really do.
Would just take
the time to help others.
If you had $100 million, you'd still be involved with people. You'd still be maybe even in the medical field still.
I'd still be a pharmacist. I'd still be doing consultations. I'd still be helping people. I'd still be kind of going out of my way to give them, good treatment options. You know, that's my love. That's my passion. And if I can blend the two worlds together, like I'm doing now with Western medicine and healthy products like CBD products and hemp products, and that's a great, a great blend. So I'd still be involved in that regard. I wouldn't be retired in the Bahamas somewhere, just not doing anything.
Well, what was the other, Dr. Ford, you had mentioned the other schooling you had. What was the other one you mentioned first?
Clinical exercise physiology, the master's degree, you mean?
Yeah. So that was a clinical.
I have a bachelor's in exercise science and a master's in exercise and sports science. And specialization was clinical physiology. So,
And pharmacy came after that.
What's that?
Pharmacy came after that.
But it's funny that you mentioned that, because that degree of master's in clinical physiology took maybe like 8 different physiology classes, gross anatomy, pharmacology. So that really helped my fundamentals of learning how the body works and functions. And then when you add pharmacy, PharmD, with the pharmacology, knowing with physiology as a background, it really kind of puts things together in perspective.
Yeah. Yeah, it gives you it lets you know what's actually happening to the body.
Exactly right. So that was my background in that.
What would you put on a billboard if you could buy a billboard right now? Let's say it's for this product, and you get 7 or 8 words to make your statement of this product. What's the billboard going to say?
Oh, a billboard for this product per se? These products?
Yeah.
That's a good one.
It's going to probably have trust in there, and probably a lot of trust stuff, right?
Yeah. Believe in yourself, trust yourself, educate yourself.
Yeah, I like that. That was only 6 words. You packed a lot in there.
All right, believe yourself, trust yourself, and educate yourself. That's it. That's your 6.
Believe yourself,
trust yourself,
and educate yourself. Yeah, that makes sense, because there's so much information out there that you have to still have that belief that you're not, because learning without belief, you can get into some kind of crazy areas, yes. Following certain not clicks, but what do they call those? What's the word I'm looking for? The Heaven's Gate,
I know what you're talking. I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
The whole Manson thing. I mean, you can be open to stuff, but you gotta always have that skepticism, don't you?
Yeah. You always have to have an open mind and willing to learn. And doesn't matter if you get second opinions, and ask again,
I suppose that's training too, where that comes from. A lot of that, learning, but seeing it from a lot of different angles to make sure it's all lining up.
Yeah, definitely. And this pet peeve is just the misinformation, and people like to profiteer off of patients and misinformation or not knowing any better. That's kind of like my crusade to educate,
I know the
so
word.
Make better decisions for themselves.
The word I was looking for is cult, for all the listeners screaming out at
me. Oh, cult.
For all the listeners. I couldn't think of that. All right. So with the pharmacist listening, as we get ready to close things down here, Dr. Ford, what would you come into them and, the classic elevator pitch kind of thing. What would you, you get more than 7 words on this one. What would you, right now, you'll have a chance to speak to some of them or listening. What do you want to tell them? And go ahead and even tell them a call to action if you want them to.
Well, there's a big call to action for independent pharmacies. Independent pharmacies, it's still a struggling space. The margins are small, insurance, Medicare, all these different things. So, they always need to come with creative ways to make money in a safe and, a compliant way. And this is a great, great way to get in early, to get a head start, to help your patient at the same time and really make good margins on this in a reasonable and sensible way. So my call to action is basically, you know, contact us, reach out to us. You know, we are one of the, you know, high quality farms you can still buy direct from, you know, before we partner up with all these wholesalers and you're talking to the wholesalers, not us directly. So that call to action is, you know, if you want to help your patients and have a great alternative products on your shelf at a reasonable cost and price and everything, you know, reach out to us. We can do private labeling or you can sell a brand. There's a lot of different options and, you know, it's everywhere. You know, I don't want them to be everyone, the independents to be always competing against CVS and Walgreens. And right now they are kind of taking the lead again, you know, so I'm reaching out to a lot of pharmacists that I know, you know, and independents I know to wake up. And if pharmacists wanted to be entrepreneurial, you know, we have, you know, talking to us directly, we have a program where you can just start with just a small minimum order quantity, say for instance, 36 bottles to get started. You can private label it yourself or have a brand. But again, you can have your own website. You could be an entrepreneur in your own mind, in your own, you know, storefront or just on your own website and then doing this yourself. So if there's entrepreneurial pharmacists who believe in this space and want to get involved in this space, this is a great opportunity to start right now. And you have your website and you can have your educational website, blog on your website, and have these great products to sell as well. Because again, I guarantee every day patients are walking to pharmacies asking, where do I go? Where do I buy this? Where do I go? Where do I buy this? This is it.
Straighten my thinking out. I know I asked you this already, but let me get your take on it one more time. So I'm sitting in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and I've got big stores, you know, Walmart and CVS and Walgreens and so on. And none of them are advertising CBD oil yet. And I know they would if they could. And so I'm under the impression that legally, for some reason, they can. And I'm, instead of hiring my own lawyer, I'm just depending on, you know, that they must know. Is that good thinking, or would you argue that?
You know, I would say you can dispel the rumors, the myths, and everything, and just Google it. As you're asking me this question, I just look up Michigan and CBD and find out the law from the Michigan Department of Licensing and Regulatory Affairs, just like that simple. It says Michigan offers guidance on CBD and industrial hemp as of March 29, 2019. So just like that, I can answer the question. So that's what I would say, because every state law is different. So I wouldn't necessarily wait till someone starts doing it. Obviously, CVS starts doing it. Obviously, that's a bigger entity. You would think, obviously, that's cleared in some capacity, but you still want to make sure what do they legalize? Is it CBD full spectrum, or is it CBD isolate? Is it zero THC products? You know, what
I gotcha.
Exactly?
Yeah, because they might put something on their shelf and it might have like zero something in it. So it's like we have to do our own homework, like we were talking about. You can't really trust it positively or negatively. You really have to look what's going on.
Yes, I'm looking right now. It says CBD products produced from marijuana will not be regulated as marijuana if the THC content is below 0.3%. This is Michigan Licensing and Regulatory Affairs. Just simple as that. Every state law has a regulatory body that addresses this subject matter, and you can easily find out right there from the source.
But it seems there like a... You know, maybe there's double laws, like the pharmacy law maybe says one thing, and maybe the retail law says one thing, and you got to go with the more stringent.
You're absolutely correct. So in some states, for instance, like Ohio, for instance, the Board of Pharmacy actually regulates CBD space. So the Board of Pharmacy has the jurisdiction over that. Other states like Michigan is just a Department of Licensing and Regulatory Affairs. So you have to know your specific state laws, and just Google on the websites, you can actually see what the state laws are and who's the regulatory body. And so because of that, that's how you make yourself more educated. As I said, educate yourself. Get the facts. Obviously, if you're just trying to follow CVS, well, even if CVS does some things wrong sometimes, but they have, you know, 100 lawyers they can back themselves and get themselves out of a pickle. But you don't have that kind of money. So you don't necessarily always want to follow the big coattails like that.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, well, Dr. Ford, it's been such a pleasure. Tell us the exact way for someone to see what we're talking about here. I know you have a website. Let's hear what that is.
Oh yes, so it's the company is called Right Coast Agriculture. The website is www.rightcoasthemp.com, rightcoasthemp.com. And that's the website. We just launched it maybe a couple of weeks ago. So, you know, it's going to be continuing to add more products to that. If you want to reach out to get my presentation that I made for pharmacies, retailers, things of that never, I'm not a pharmacist take on educating, they can email me at Dr. Ford, DrFORDE. At RightCoastAgriculture.com, Dr. Ford at RightCoastAgriculture.com. And I can send you information how to get started, our presentation I put together to help educate between all these different things we talked about today. And just call me, you know, you can just call me. I don't mind giving my number out as well.
Wonderful. Well, listen, Dr. Ford, it's been a pleasure. If you do happen to wake up and you have that $100 million, I'll take some of it.
I'll definitely donate to your show to keep this
donate to the show. All right, thank you, Dr. Ford. We'll talk again.
All right, thank you. Thanks for having
me. All right, bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
This was the Business of Pharmacy podcast with me, your host, Mike Kelzer. Please subscribe for future episodes.